The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
All right. Hey, guys, gals. So nice to, I guess I can't see you. So nice to be seen. So nice to be in your presence. Let's do this. I do have a quick announcement that those of you that are joining live will get earlier before we release this. And those of you guys that are being listening to the recording, you'll have in a day or two. All right. So we're bringing back right now the Clean Profit Live. I haven't done it in over a year. Before that, I think it was 3 or 4 years. I'm going to walk through the entire Clean Profit method with 8 owners in 3 days. Actually, like kind of the morning of a day, 2 full days, and then, or the afternoon of a day. Yeah, whatever. Basically 3 days, the whole thing. It's going to be here in Scottsdale. It's going to be in a beautiful mansion I rented. Why only 8? A, I want to make sure everyone gets the personal attention because we're going to do everything together and kind of implement together. And B, because the mansion only has 8 bedrooms. So that's how we're working that out. Cool. So that's, if you want information, you can go to growmycleaningcompany.com/CPL for Clean Profit Live, CPL 2024. So growmycleaningcompany.com, CPL or /CPL 2024. It will be with me. I will be hosting you. We'll be doing dinner. You just got to get yourself out of here. Obviously pay for the event. We'll handle the food, the mansions, the company. It'll be awesome. So excited to, and of course you have to, by the way, when you go to that landing page, it's just an opportunity to talk to me because I got to, you know, we're going to, you know, guessing more people that want in than we can do it. So we'll have to talk, make sure it's a good fit. Anyway, do that. See you soon. Now let's get to the questions. Lindsay.
All right. I'm so excited about that. I was just like,
happening. The lives are the most fun things.
Yeah. I was just like, man, can we announce it? Can we announce it? You're like, yeah, we probably should. One reason I wanted to make sure we announce it is because I know we've been sending out emails to everyone on our email list. And Luke actually emailed a question for us in response to one of those live emails. So right. I was like, hey, that's a question for the podcast. So hey, Luke, I'm going to ask your question now.
Is this Luke Tucker?
It is.
Love that dude. He's the best. Luke, if you're listening, what's up, brother? All right, yeah. Continue.
Okay, so Luke asks, well, he gave a little background. I'm trying to balance still cleaning to keep customers happy and bring in revenue to pay for the new strategies and processes we are working to implement and grow. Should I just take time off of cleaning and focus 100% on business to the detriment of revenue? I see that being a slippery slope not to have funds to balance and implement the things we're trying to do, hiring costs, LSA, meeting, et cetera. What say you, Mike?
Gosh, that's such a good question. All right, so there's 2 parts. One is kind of general, which I'm going to give to everybody, and then 2 would be specific to your specific situation, right? So we'll have to kind of localize it to some degree. So here is my philosophy, and sometimes there's like, here's what I would do, and I'm not necessarily coaching others to do this, but I'll tell you what I would do and why, and then you can make your own decision based on that. So the big myth I want to make sure nobody leaves with is this belief, I shouldn't say myth, this belief that when I'm cleaning, I'm making money for my company. That's how I make money. If you would like to be a cleaner, that is 100% the truth, but it is not the truth if you want to be an owner. And here's the optionality I think people don't think of. So we don't just think of cleaning or not cleaning. We think, well, when I clean, I make money. When I don't clean, I don't make money. But that's not the whole truth. The truth is when you clean, you make, oh, and by the way, guys, gals, people do the math on this wrong, which is, well, I charged $400 for deep clean. I was there 5 hours. I made $80 an hour. Or I charged X amount for some floor work, carpet work, upholstery, whatever the case may be. I was there this long, divide it up. Here's how much I made. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The right way, the accurate way, the comprehensive way to do that math is go, how much did you work total for the week? Thinking about your business, planning your business, cleaning rags, driving here, doing that, whatever, all the time you spent on the business, divided by the money you actually took out of the company. So not what QuickBooks says your profit is, because that is really dependent on how good the data that you put in is, but actual money. And you're like, well, I made a lot of money. I just reinvested in the company. That's called expenses. That is not profit, right? Like that's not You know, it'd be like me going, oh, Lindsay's salary is me reinvesting in the company. It's like, true, but it can be counted as her salary or as my salary or her profit or my, it cannot be used both, right? We can't, this is a single, it can only be, if it's hers, it ain't mine. If it's mine, it ain't hers. So whatever that expense is called, not that Lindsay's an expense, but whatever that thing that you're writing a check to is called, you can call it investing in the business, fine, but it is not profit, right? So the first and foremost, you got to be, and what'll happen is guys are like, well, you know, I'm going to take out $800 a month. Well, how many hours did you work? 80. Okay. Or $800 a week. How many hours did you work? 80. Okay. So that's $10 an hour. So again, same thing. I used to speak and you'd be like, oh my gosh, I got, you know, $10,000 for a keynote, which is great. You know, I'm not complaining by any stretch, but that assumes I just walked out of my bedroom onto stage with no preparation whatsoever. And the check was in my pocket and I walked off back into home. But it's like, I had to get the job. I had to, you know, for me, I had to get to know the audience and customize the speech and do the slides and get on a plane and probably stay there the night before. And then afterwards, they're going to want to talk to me and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, it's a 40-hour commitment. And it's like, well, that's still good wages. I'm not complaining. But it's not 10 grand an hour. It's a little different kettle fish. So don't be that guy or gal that does the math wrong. So first and foremost, if you're going to go, I make money when I clean, you've got to back that out and go, well, if I paid someone to clean, what would that cost? Well, $20 an hour. Okay. So then you're making $20 an hour when you clean, right? Because the sum total of the money that you make out isn't just the cleaning. It's the doing the rags, doing the marketing, getting the insurance, all the other things that you do. So you've got to add it all up. So all that said, yes, if you are making, I would really phrase it as saving. I'm just going to say it's $20 an hour is what it costs you to clean. Maybe you're 25, maybe you're 17, whatever the case may be, whatever it costs you per hour, per person, that's what you're saving, not really making when you do the cleaning yourself. So if that's the, and again, you still have to do other, I know the company makes more than that, but you also have to do other work outside of that. So if you just break it down into the cleaning, that's all you're making, you're saving. So if the alternative is sitting on the couch and watching TV, yes, you will make more money cleaning, 100%, $20 an hour more to be exact, or whatever your payroll cost is. If you replace that with other activities, then you just have to go, well, how much am I making on those other activities? So if you're futzing around the office, maybe nothing. If you're quote unquote marketing, but marketing to you means hanging on Facebook, making a post, not really doing anything, probably nothing. If you're selling in front of an actual customer who wants your services, that might be, you know, say you close half the people you talk to and your average client's $400 a month and they stay 2 years, that's 10 grand. So you're making about 5 grand an hour. So you kind of have, not you kind of, you have to compare the alternative to cleaning. And if it's quote unquote working on my business, and that just means listening to podcasts or watching YouTube, which I think is great. Those don't pay well. Like they're certainly, they pay well long-term, but short-term that $20 is going to make you more. Selling will pay you more short-term. Hiring somebody will pay more short-term. Effective marketing actually gets leads to call in that want your service. That will pay more. So big picture answer is you're always going to make more money working on your business, doing things that make more than whatever you're saving yourself. You've got to count properly, counting being the total cost of total income you make, including everything you do, not just I made $600 and I worked for 12 hours or whatever the case may be. And then finally you have to compare it with the alternative. If it's sitting on the couch, you'll make more money cleaning. If it's quote unquote working on your company, but you're not really doing income producing things, you might make more money cleaning. And if you're like, no, I know what I need to be doing, I have a system and a process that works and I trust, then you should do that, right? And if you are like, I don't know what I'm doing, well, that's where you would get a coach. Doesn't even have to be me. Find someone that does know what they're doing, invest in that, and that's that. So that's the big picture. The last piece is the small picture. If you're currently cleaning 30 hours a week and that's making you $20 an hour and you're like, I need that money to pay my rent. Well, then that's a different kettle of fish, right? Like you have to depend, well, what's your savings? And do you have any other income in the house? You know, are you married? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? So like, if you're like, that's it, I can't. Well, then of course, if you need that $20 to survive per hour, well, then you're just going to have to work on your business and in your business at the same time. But if you don't, and again, I'm not saying you have to have 10 grand in the bank saved up, but if you're like, I cannot work for a week or two, that would be I would not work and just make absolutely sure the thing I was replacing it with was making more money. That's all. People, because they don't have the coaching or they don't know what to do, or they're like fooling around, replace it with something that feels more important, but it's really just busy work. So you just have to be, the less money that you have as a cushion, the more focused you have to be on doing things that you know are going to make you more than $20 an hour. So that was a long answer, but it's such an important question. Lindsay, was there anything in there that wasn't clear that I can tidy up or clean up?
No, I don't think there's anything to tidy up because you went into very good detail, but there's a nuance to something that you've said before in other words, but I just want to make sure Cleaning Nation got it. It's on the very first level, right? Is this whole thing revolves around the employee versus the owner mindset. And I feel like, because if you're an employee, you're thinking in terms of hours. I drive to the office, I sit there for 8 hours, I do my job, and then I go home. And I think too many cleaning company owners, at least that we help, come into our program and have that kind of mindset. Well, I make this much money, you know, cleaning toilets, and it's pretty good. And, you know, I'm going to lose that money. But I just wanted to reemphasize that. I think that's a really good point that you made, that it's a switching of the mentality from employee to owner. It's so important.
I forget who said it, but they said, if you torture statistics enough, you can make them say anything. And I think, so how you count makes a big deal, right? Yeah. How you count, like, well, how much do you get paid per hour? Well, again, the speaking thing, if you just count the hour on stage, you just count the hour cleaning, it can seem like a lot, but if you count all the things that go into it, you get a more realistic picture. So make sure, however you're counting anything, you're giving yourself a realistic picture. Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is, if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so the next question we have, I'm going to read it. Well, there's two parts to the question, Mike, and I think you can see it on the screen here, but we got an email in to the support. Every week you say, hey, email Lindsay at support with your questions. No one ever bothers except Laura. Shout out to Laura. You're awesome. So I got,
but where do the people? All right. So because we get questions all the time. If they don't email support, where do they?
Okay. So if you don't randomly email support with your question, we send out an email every week. So make sure you get on our newsletter. All you have to do is go to growmycleaningcompany.com, and I'm sure there's a way to get on it from there. Or you can just be in our Facebook group, and I post every week about this live, and you can comment on there. And I prioritize the people that comment in the Facebook group, and because I see you all in there commenting and interacting, and I like
it. All right, a little inside baseball about how to get your question on the show. Apparently, Lindsay is super biased towards Facebook peeps.
Totally,
so there you go.
Biased. I'm stalking you all on Facebook. But
although if you email support a Growmy Cleaning Company, it sounds like no one does that. So
no one does that.
They probably get put to the top of the list because they're in the minority. Everyone does it through Facebook.
Oh yeah. Apple forwarded this to me this morning and I was like, that's going on the podcast. So here we go. Laura says, I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and she listens to directions apparently. I have a question. All right. So she's figured out how to maintain a great team of independent workers, but now I'm stuck in the middle of communication between clients and workers. I'm happy to stop being the middleman and letting my clients and workers communicate directly, but I'd like to know if any systems would work best for this communication to happen. She's got two problems. So we'll start with the first one, Mike. Problem number one, I'd like there to be a record of communication between employees and clients, i.e. no communication with personal phone numbers.
Okay, so first of all, I don't know that I make a huge distinction between employees or contractors. I think we think that that changes everything. Like, well, if they're employees, I got to do this. I don't know that that really has a lot to do with this. It's a lot more to do with culture, right? Like, Lindsay's a part of the team because who she is and how she thinks, and we love her. And if her legal relationship with us happens to be a contractor or employee, I don't know that she's going to act like, oh, as an employee, I'm this, but as a contractor, I'm that. So I wouldn't focus too much on that. I love the question, but I want to make sure we're focusing on the important thing. Second, our friends at Swept, we haven't had them on forever, but years ago we had them on the podcast, are jumping up and down screaming, this is exactly what our software does, for crying out loud. So there are great softwares out there. Swept is one of them. I think they're a little more for commercial. I'm not sure if Laura is more residential or commercial, but then, you know, from the residential side, there's like, I'm not sure which software does what, but there's, I think, House Call Pro. There's a bunch of it. Google that crap. There's 1,000 software. So there's lots of software that you can do that. And that way they can kind of go through the platform, everything. It's really, you're just looking for a CRM that has, really, that's it, that people can text and call So, I mean, technically you use any CRM, but they have specific ones out there for cleaning companies. So answer, short answer on that one would be software.
Nice. Yeah. And actually you just kind of answered part of question number two, because she was like, is there a platform, blah, 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 like Slack, or like, how should I do this? But her next question, really good question. Are there any specific boundaries I need to put in place for direct communication? And how do we monitor and manage the communication between clients and employees?
So that's the beautiful thing. And I know you guys probably get sick of hearing it, but core values are so like right spot on. So we have no, like, again, I always use Lindsay because she's here, or if Suzanne's on. She and I have never had any conversations around like, here's what you can say to a client, or here's what you can't say about a client. Obviously with whatever our employment agreement, she can't sell our clients her own crap. Like that would be a problem. But other than that, she's a human being who likes to have fun. She's all about making money for herself, for our team, for the company. She's real. I trust her not to lie, cheat, or steal. She loves helping out. So those are the boundaries and the standards. If she has a personal relationship with our clients, I think that would be great. It's a little different because we're kind of physically separated from them. But if we weren't, and I found out Lindsay, one of our clients, was going out to lunch or built a personal relationship, as long as Lindsay kept having fun, making money, being real, helping out, I'm totally fine with that. So, and I'm not saying that this is something you want your cleaners and your, you know, clients to be BFFs and, you know, hanging out at ball games, but sincerely, the core values are it, right? Because if Lindsay's not a core values fit, I can have all the rules and systems and guidelines I want. Girlfriends are going to do what girlfriends are going to do. When she is a core values fit, I don't really need the guidelines because she's going to do what she's going to do, right? So again, it would be like lying. Like, again, perfect example with Lindsay. How do I know she's not going to sell crap to our people or go behind my back or try and, you know, profit off of the relationships that we spend so much money? Because she's an honest human being. And I've seen her, we've interacted for years, and I've seen her in lots of different circumstances. So that's, I feel pretty safe. And we have paperwork, but I don't really worry about it. And guess what? If she's a liar, cheat, and a thief, how much would my paperwork be worth? Something, maybe, if I want to sue my friend who I don't like. It's all like, it just, ugh. So short answer, really, really core values. If you're like, I don't know how I feel about this employee talking with this customer, I would have more questions about the core values match of the employee and the customer than I would of how do I control this? Like if Lindsay was talking with someone like, I don't know how I feel about that, Lindsay. That's really a problem between Lindsay and I in our relationship and my questioning her commitment to doing what's the right thing for the company and for everybody. Not a, I need more guidelines to keep, you know, like I feel like locks on suitcases are to keep the honest people out, right? Like, especially the soft-sided ones, like, you know, anyone with a pair of scissors can be in that in 1 second. So guidelines are really to keep the honest people on track, but they're not going to do anything for the dishonest people. And if they're dishonest, guidelines all are going to work. And if they're honest, you don't need them. So I know it, I shouldn't say no, it may be an unsatisfying answer, but you've really got to have the core values. The final thing I would add is I would like the communication streamlined. So I don't like, well, Lindsay texts people, but you know, Jackson Slacks and Suzanne's more of a phone lady and we all have our own different kettle of fish. We do need to streamline, hey, here are the methods of communication. And then if Lindsay went outside of that, I wouldn't be mad or like, what's, I would be curious, like, that's weird. Why did you call that person as opposed to just Slack them? And she'd probably give me some reasonable thing that made sense. I'm like, oh, cool. I was just curious. Like, or if it wasn't curiosity and I was angry, again, it's a problem with my relationship with Lindsay and my trust in her, not the systems. So first of all, core values, core values, core values. Second of all, streamline that. So everybody's using the same thing. Like I love, we use Slack internally and for each other, team to team, as well as team to clients. It was great because everything's recorded. It's all right there. We can scroll back up and see it. It's just great. And again, like, you know, police cam videos. If I was a cop, I would want that video running 24/7. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to do anything crazy and I don't want any crazy person record, you know, saying I did something crazy. Let's have the video. Same thing with Slack. If you've got people who are like, oh, I don't want to be on that. I'm like, why? What's like, I would want it. So Lindsay could never be like, he told me, but I'm like, let's just go look at it. So it'd be a bit of a red or yellow flag if your employees are like, no, I want my own private communication all the time for some reason. That would cause question, you know. So anyway, that would be it. Software. This, I don't know if you need guidelines. You can say this, you can't say that, you can't do that, but I would have, we communicate with our people through Slack and that's, or email, or, but not all of it. Not, it just has to be streamlined. So in like you said, you don't want it to be on Lindsay's cell phone because then if and when Lindsay leaves, like, well, now that whole thing's gone. So some sort of centralized. So again, employees come and go, our Slack stays the same. They don't take little bits of that, you know. And again, if Lindsay's got a personal relationship and she leaves, as long as she's a decent human being, it's not like she's like, screw that company, they suck. Like, even if she leaves, she'll be, yeah, they're great. You should keep working with them. Like, no big deal. All right. I feel like that was a real loosey-goosey answer, Lindsay. Did I miss? I love Lindsay kind of poking holes in my stuff and filling in the blanks I miss.
No, I don't want any holes to poke. I just, my takeaways are you want to make your life easier because you should always be thinking about scaling, right? Like if someone just has your, even if you have a voice over IP phone or whatever, right? And you give it to one person, you got to make sure that you can carry that number. For example, I know we use Slack as an example, but you got to make sure you can carry that number and take it off that person's phone and put it on something else. So like what, I don't really think it matters so much as like what software, as long as you know that that software can be scaled. Like anything we use in our company, I'm always thinking like, okay, can I just hand this off to a VA, a virtual assistant to take care of it if I'm sick or I'm not here? So I think that's important thinking.
Yeah, I like that you use the, yeah, like, so say we've got our phone, which I think our main phone is a Google Voice number. Mm-hmm. I can point it to Lindsay, or I don't even know where it's pointed right now, but we can just point it. Lindsay takes a vacation. Like, no problem. We'll just point it somewhere else. But if it's Lindsay's cell phone, she's probably going to want to take that on vacation with her. So now we're in a, and she's probably not going to want to answer it. So it's a goofy area. So yes, with email, pretty easy because you can turn off and on. We love Google Docs. You can turn it off and on. Slack, you can turn off and on. If you're going to do phone, just make sure you own the number. So it's not like their number that you're using for work. Not, and they might also resent it. Like Lindsay might not feel great if I'm like, oh yeah, you text our clients with your cell phone. Like she, you know, she'd probably be okay with it, but it'd be a little weird of an ask. And again, then if and when she leaves, it's like, well, all that information is just gone. So great point on when we say software, it's really not software, it's technology. Because, you know, phones are, you know, voice over IP, maybe it's software, but yeah, just the technology should be streamlined and consistent and scalable. Cool. We have, we done, or we got time for one more? What would you like to see happen?
I think we're done, but I have a request for Cleaning Nation. So we didn't get to it this week, but for next week, if you want to email in more questions, I want to know, and Mike, maybe you have a better way of rephrasing this for Cleaning Nation, but I want to know what's blocking you, Cleaning Nation, from working less in your company. Is there a better way to phrase that, Mike? I don't know.
I don't know if there's a better way to phrase it, but maybe email in the top three things that you spend your time on. Mm-hmm. And your opinion, this would be really handy, of if you think that's good or bad, right? So it's not just like I spend a lot of my time on selling. Well, how do you feel about that? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So yeah, top three things you spend your time on, and how do you feel, and do you feel good about that? And then if you have any general questions in that area, feel free to submit. Facebook, email, all that good stuff.
I like it. All right. That's all I got then.
Cool. Clean Nation. Like I said, the live event is live. It is not yet full at the time of this recording. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com/CPL, Clean Profit Live 2024, CPL 2024. Can't wait to meet the special eight of you out there. And for the rest of you guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.